We happen to have Ashish Sen with us, who's the Vice President of AMARC Asia Pacific based in India. Thanks for joining us. You spoke earlier on a panel a bit about the history of community radio in India and then also some of the challenges that you face. So I wonder if you could start by telling us the story of community radio in India. In Canada, we're looking at some stations celebrating 90 years. CKUT's been on the FM dial since 87, but we were actually a radio club at McGill as of the 1960s. Is it a similar timeline for community radio in India?
No, it's really a very contrasting scenario. But before that, hi, thanks for having me on your show. I'm
welcome.
Really happy to be here. The community radio movement in India started as recently as 1995 when the Supreme Court of India passed a landmark judgment which said that airwaves are public property to be used for public good. And it was only after that that advocates for community broadcasting, radio practitioners got together and started lobbying for the third radio the third tier of radio, so to speak, public, private, and community, based on principles of inclusiveness and equity. But it was only as recently as late 2006 that the government of India passed guidelines enabling community-based organizations with proven credentials to be eligible to have a radio station of their own. And the first grassroots community radio station was operational as recently as October 15th, 2008, just 3 years ago, Sangam Radio, which is located in one of the poorest districts in the country, in South India, in Medak district, in the southern state of Andhra Pradesh, and it's run and managed by 7 non-literate Dalit women. So it's been about 11 and a half years of lobbying with the government before we've actually got grassroots community radio stations on air. Today we have about 100 community radio stations in the country which are operational, but I need to disaggregate that. And you need to look at it in the context of campus radio and community radio. And here I need to actually digress a bit, because in 2003, the government actually of India passed legislation enabling campuses, which were recognized by the government of India, to start radio stations of their own, but they called it this, you know, community radio. Now, this is not exactly the same thing as grassroots community radio, although both
share the same license.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. They're both subsumed by the same policy. So, in a manner of speaking, the campus radio stations had a head start of about 4 years, and that's why we have about 60 plus campus radio stations and about 40-odd grassroots community radio stations operational now.
Well, 100 in such a short time, I'd say you're doing pretty good.
Yes and no. We think we're not moving as fast as we could. We should. I think, the license, that's for a lot of reasons. One is that, you know, the license encumbrances can take quite a long time, sometimes as long as a year. But the movement has gained momentum. We need to quicken the pace. If you look at the government target, the government said that India has space for at least 4,000 community radio stations to be on air. So 100's not very much if you look at that. But hopefully we'll get there sooner than later.
Now, the contrast between campus, or one of the similarities between campus-based stations and community, or the more grassroots stations, would be that they're both volunteer-run stations?
Yes, they are, but there are differences as well, because in terms of community management and ownership, the campus radio stations are not really owned by the community members, yeah?
But in that context of being volunteer-driven, can we think about some of the challenges that are specific maybe to India with regard to maintaining these stations through a volunteer base? Is it pretty easy in India to recruit volunteers to come to your radio station, like the grassroots example that you gave? Are they having a hard time maintaining a volunteer base to run that station? I mean, you had mentioned 7 women.
That's right.
I'm presuming those 7 women are not on air 24/7.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, actually, you have, I mean, I needed sort of to clarify that. I mean, I think Sangam Radio, for instance, the example that I gave you in the morning, has a bank of volunteers, which clearly are more than two or three or seven. It runs into 20 and 30. Likewise, most community radio stations have a bank of volunteers, but this is a floating bank. I mean, you have an attrition rate, you have volunteers coming and going, so there are challenges over there as well. But you have a core team. You have, for instance, in Namadhwani, a community radio station that I'm associated with in Karnataka, we have three studio managers who are full-time working on the community radio station. Likewise, in...
As in paid staff, full-time paid staff.
Okay. That's right. As opposed to volunteers. And likewise with Sangam Radio. So the challenge that we face with volunteers are like the same pretty much anywhere, that, you know, volunteers come and go. You know, we've come to accept that. I think the liveliness of the radio station, again, in some ways determines the important sustenance for the volunteers. Mm-hmm. And as we talked of also earlier this morning, I mean, community radio is substantially about social sustainability. So the people make the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit about the region? Is India a unique example in the region in terms of community radio, or is it a regional phenomenon?
I didn't get that question.
In terms of the region of South Asia,
yes.
Is it a phenomena across South Asia, or is it just located in terms of community radio operating? Is it just in India? Does it exist in Nepal, for example, other places?
Sure. In fact, Nepal has a much older tradition of community radio than India. Nepal has about 140 community radio stations now,
and a much smaller country.
Community radio started way back in the 1990s, and they've done some really landmark work, political work, for instance, in the restoration of democracy in that country. Community radio stations played a very special role. But having said that, there are still legal ambivalences, and this is something that we need. It's not just a problem in Nepal, but it's an issue which concerns the whole region. We have diverse community radio relationships with the law in different countries. In Nepal, for instance, in spite of the fact that it started way back in the 1990s, you still don't have a community radio policy. And as I also mentioned earlier, therefore you don't have a distinction between local, i.e. commercial community radio stations on FM, and not-for-profit, NGO-driven community radio-based stations. Now, what does that translate to when you're applying for a license? Both pay the same amount. There's a disconnect somewhere. Having said that, countries like India and Bangladesh, you have a three-tiered community radio policy in place, public, private, and community. Yeah. But you have restrictions like the ban on news, which is a contradiction in terms, because if community radio has come in on a platform to provide voice to the voiceless, well, how are you going to do that without giving them a platform to broadcast news?
It's a partial voice to the voiceless.
How partial is partial? That's the question.
Yeah.
And we've actually been pushing that in the country. Bangladesh has the same hurdle to cross. It's how you interpret news that really is the question.
Part of the goal today was to actually propose policy changes. So I know it's fairly a recent phenomena, but I'm sure there's already been lessons learned in directions you want to go in. Have there been any efforts to sort of put forth policy suggestions from within the sector, from within community radio stations, either within India or from the region, or people putting forward what would be the best environment for community radio to work in?
Sure. I must right now articulate that, you know, post the legal reforms coming into place, the guidelines being implemented, we have started the Community Radio Forum of India, which is a country network comprising community radio practitioners, advocates, and supporters. We have a membership now which is more than 35 or 36. One of the functions of the forum is to advocate the need on how to create an enabling climate for community radio. So we advocate, we lobby with the government. Next, in a couple of years, it'll be 5 years since the legislation, since the guidelines came into force. And I think we're trying to moot the idea of a review mechanism. Hopefully, issues like the ban on news, mobile transmission, these are issues, the cost of technology, that will be discussed in more granular detail. We've already been able to talk with the government on the need and relevance of creating a community radio support fund to support so that we can seed community radio and also enable it to take it to scale. And in all fairness, the government has accepted the idea in principle, and at the moment we're working on a framework to put this into practice. So there have been efforts in this regard.
Now, you've been involved in AMARC for some time.
Right.
And I'm wondering if when you first got involved, if you were surprised at the similarities that that community radio stations face globally.
Absolutely, because I think, you know, when you join AMARC, or when I joined AMARC, I think in spite of the fact that there were all these diverse models and diverse examples, over the years, the similarities and the challenges that confront many of our community radio stations are similar, irrespective of whether you belong to the developed or the developing world, so to speak. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then out of today's forum, was there anything that you took away that perhaps you're looking forward to in terms of policy suggestions that came out of the day or experiences that you learned about?
I think one of the take-home points is the need to actually deepen our networks, because in spite of the fact that you've got a very developed community, developed in quote-unquote community radio sector in Canada, I think there are concerns related to sustainability which are similar to the ones that we face in our part of the world. So I think developing cross-regional collaborations is certainly one way to go. I think that's the big take-home.